Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yo, what's happening? How you doing today? Tinky and Tierney, new week, let's go. We're coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket Cam was good. Come in. 3 hours to roll. Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hopefully you had an outstanding weekend. Got a chance to relax a little bit. Got a good show for you. Listen, we know there's a ton of teams lined up to trade for Deshaun Watson. We pretty much know which team they will be, that would be, but now we're starting to get a sense of what it would actually take specifically, even though the Texans keep telling us we're not going to trade them, whatever, what it would actually take to make that happen. We'll hit that a little later. The NBA second half schedule is being very poorly received. We'll get to that. That could have some residual impact on some of the older players and teams. And should James Harden get a little MVP love? What up, Teak? How was your weekend,
good,
buddy?
Man. I don't know how we don't start giving James Harden some love. It's like every time they need him to score 38 to 40, he scores 38 to 40. They find ways to win. DeAndre Jordan also cleaned up and made that thing happen for him.
They played great.
They're 5-0 on their road trip, right?
Swept through the road trip. By the way, it kind of helps when the opposing coach keeps the hottest player on the bench because he's got to keep up the 32 minutes.
I don't understand.
The dumbest thing that I've ever seen. I didn't watch the whole game. I watched a good chunk of the end of the game, second half, and I know we'll do basketball later. I wanted to watch Paul George. They have an off night, and then they're playing the Wizards. Why didn't he play?
I don't get it either, BT. I mean, I understand why you're – it almost feels like baseball, doesn't it? You know how baseball's
right?
They've gotten to the point where it's like right on the number, right? Not like 100, not like 78 pitches.
Yep.
You got 76 pitches. If you get to 76, you're out. Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm pitching a no-hitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like that in basketball now. It's frustrating. It really is.
My advanced metrics tell me that if he played 32 minutes – give me 32 minutes versus 34 with 2 minutes to go in a game. The guy's red hot. You're playing the Nets. That was weak.
Very
weak. Disappointing, but we'll get to some NBA stuff later. Again, hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Never did I think that we would start a story. Maybe if Cam Newton signed a contract,
or something like that.
That's true. Or opened the store on Madison Avenue. Although he's changing his clothing techniques here.
I
was talking about that over the weekend.
I heard that.
Going the thrifty route. He said he's burned millions and he's trying to maybe rummage through some stuff and get some deals. Not a bad idea. Especially if you're going to keep playing the way you played this. Man, I'm just kidding. See, I just did basically what I'm about to get on a young man for doing this weekend.
Yeah, but it's your job to do that, man. You're Sports Talk Radio. This kid is 18 years old.
Not even. I don't even think he's 18.
Yeah,
I think he's 16 or 17. I'm not even going to say his name because he's a kid. For those who missed the story, I don't even know the name of the camp. I don't even care. It's a 7-on-7 camp. We know Cam has been very generous with his time. Very. You know, you can mock Cam for some of the strange outfits, and we've had a little fun with that. You can mock Cam, whether or not he's still viable as a player, and we'll actually have that conversation specific to football next segment because he said some interesting things. But what you can't ever knock Cam for is being engaged in the community, being a good guy. And he's subjected to catcalls from some punk sophomore or junior. Just listen to this exchange. You got to really listen. It's a young camper, and it's Cam going back and forth. Check this out.
You ass. You're a free agent. You're a free agent. You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
He's a free agent. Where your daddy is? Let me talk to your dad.
What's your dad? You're the free agent.
What's your dad?
You're a free agent. You're a free agent. You ass.
Talk to him. Where's your dad? Where's your pop?
You ass.
Okay, so, kept saying, You were free agent, basically saying you're a scrub, you have no team. You were by the way, I wish I could have been good enough to be a free agent at anything, which applies to 99.9% of society. Again, the marginalization of the process. But that's a subtext we'll get to. Can you make the case that Cam didn't need to engage the kid? I'm rich. Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess you can make that case. But I've gotten on Cam in the past. I don't think he's particularly good right now as a player. But... And again, yeah, you can make the case, don't engage the young man. But to me, this is a deeper societal issue that continues to permeate our world where unchecked disrespect makes the world a worse place. Take it and I'll go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, the frustrating thing is that, you know, this kid has dreams or aspirations of being a college football player and then ultimately making it to the NFL. And you know, he doesn't understand the process of how to get there. And I think we saw this on social media because this became, I mean, this went viral really, really quickly. And all of, I mean, almost to a man, all of the NFL players that responded to this and non-NFL stars basically said, what in the heck is wrong with this kid? I mean, some were, you know, espousing violence, which I would never do with a 16-year-old.
That's
but
wrong. That's
but they were like, handle it like a man. I mean, at the end of the day, Cam Newton has accomplished more than most football players ever will. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Think about what I said. And he's not even won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
But what Cam Newton has done as a college kid, first of all, junior college.
That's true.
Where he won a national championship.
Yep.
College at Auburn, where he won a national championship and the Heisman Trophy, was first overall. I mean, it just goes on and on.
League MVP.
He went to a Super Bowl. He's made $122 million.
National commercials.
I mean, and he's got a swag and a style about himself. He's created a brand that is unique. And I mean, even if you don't go on to become a superstar athlete when you grow up, if you can create a brand for yourself and be known for something outside of the sport that you play, that's an accomplishment. No matter what you want to say about Cam Newton as a football player, and yes, is he on the backside of his career? Most likely.
Yes.
I mean, it is what it is.
We'll hit that football stuff next second.
And he got the crap beat out of him for 8 years, and his body just broke down. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But this kid, to be disrespectful, I don't know what he's drawing on. Maybe the statistics of former athletes.
I'm sure did a real deep extrapolation on the monetary.
But he's talking about you're about to be broke.
Now, here's what he's doing. Here's what he's doing.
Starting quarterbacks in the NFL don't go broke. Sorry.
Exactly.
Not anymore.
Here's what he's doing. He knows there's phones. He knows there's cameras. He knows there's the immediate result of going viral. Mm-hmm. He knows that by saying something off color and off key and flat out straight up disrespectful and rude will give him a bump in the status of life. That's what he's thinking.
But that's not cool at all.
Well, that's absolutely asinine, and it's a sad reflection on society. Listen, and by the way, I'm going to move away from the young man now because he did apologize.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed pretty heartfelt.
Yes.
I'm going to take him at his word. If we were all measured by our worst moment, none of us would have jobs. Or very few of us would have jobs, okay? So we're not going to sit in the ivory tower and just shoot down on people verbally and lambaste them and try to ruin their lives. We don't cancel people for a temporary lapse in judgment. I am going to very quickly now move on from the young man and now point the finger where it really goes, and that's society. Mm. I mean, because listen, well, first of all, let me just take a step back. First of all, what should have happened is that his uniform should have been taken and he should have been booted out of camp immediately. Immediately booted from camp, immediately. Give me your shirt, take your spikes, get on the bus, you're gone. You're not playing anymore, you're gone. Because unless, and I know he apologized, I'm sure his parents are going to come down on the young man. I know what he said within his apology. He referenced his parents, and I have no reason to think that they haven't tried and have succeeded on almost every level, doing a great job raising a young man in a tough world in 2021. I'm not judging parents because it ain't easy. But I will judge us collectively. And without any discernible punishment, so he was allowed to stay in camp.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely got a big-time bump on whatever social media platforms he's on because he's now viral. Without discernible punishment, this is in a roundabout way. This activity, this state of mind is rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
It is rewarded by society. You can jump in and you can attack somebody, whether it's true, partially true, completely fabricated, doesn't matter. You can write whatever you want. There's never any kickback. There's never anything punitive that happens to you. And until that begins to happen, until accountability becomes vogue again, until that becomes mainstream again, this young man won't be the first, and he's certainly not going to be the last.
Yeah, hasn't,
it's our fault.
But hasn't social media kind of allowed this type of mentality to exist and,
yes,
and permeate society?
It's encouraged because, it. Forget about allowing it. It's encouraged it.
Yeah, I mean, you respond negatively or in a trollless behavior. And this happens everywhere, BT. All over the internet, you see this stuff all the time. Even if it's something as benign as Cam Newton being in a camp.
I know what you
mean.
You
know what I mean?
It's just, all the time.
People just want to troll. And when you troll and you get 50 likes on it or whatever the context may be, it could be 1,000 likes on
it's
it.
It's probably more like a couple of million, but I got
you. Yeah, I'm just talking about any given any situation. All of a sudden, you feel empowered. Like, yeah, that felt good to be validated in what I was saying. And that's and even if you're not doing it consciously, and I don't think that this kid was consciously thinking, I'm going to take on Cam Newton because I have a message to tell him. Because clearly he wasn't saying anything plausible. Like, there was no, what was he saying? Yes, Cam Newton's
been a punk. He's been a wise
guy.
And we were all wise guys.
Cam Newton's a free agent. Okay, great. If his career ended tomorrow, he'd still have had a great career and made a ton of money doing it. So I understand, like, that I can empower myself and be bigger than you by demeaning you and cutting you down, right? That's really what this comes down to. And it's why social media has become, very dangerous in some cases, because you can undercut someone so often and so many times, digital bullying, whatever you want to call it, because it makes you feel better. Makes you feel more powerful than the person that you're talking about. But this was happening in real time, which is why it's rare and interesting that he didn't back down. You know, usually when you get called out, like Cam Newton called out this kid, it stops. He just kept going.
Yeah, he did. Right? He called them ass.
I mean,
he said, U.S. It's over and over. You a free agent, U.S. I mean, the guy won the MVP.
I know.
More importantly, even if he was the third-string quarterback, he took time out of his schedule to come and connect with young kids.
Yeah.
You're one of them. I remember. Now, I went to a ton of sports camps when I was a kid, one of which Bernard King was his camp.
Nice.
Oh, God. I was talking about being in heaven. It was right after when Bernard King ripped up his knee, so I guess it would have been – well, it was technically about a year and a half. It was the summer of 85, so I think I was 11. And it was Bernard King's camp, right? But there were other guys who rolled through, and I've been to other camps, baseball, basketball. You didn't have to be one of the superstars to get my attention. You walked into that gym, and I went to basketball camp more than anything. You walked into that gym to show us a drill. Coach Hurley, Bobby Hurley, Dandy Hurley's dad, right? Great St. Anthony's legend. I used to go to this camp, the Connecticut School of Basketball. Nick Makarchek, the former Fordham head coach back in the day, ran it. I went every year for about 4 years. And Mr. Coach Hurley came. And I didn't really know about the St. Anthony's aura. I was sixth, seventh grade. I certainly wasn't going there to play. You didn't want me. You want the slow white guy who's like 5'6" at that point for damn sure. So I had no chance to play for him. I barely knew who he was, is my point. I was lasered in on him with the most profound respect. I didn't need Pat Riley to walk into the door, into the gym, for me to have respect. I was just fixated on the message because that's what I was taught by my parents. When somebody comes to – maybe he got paid, maybe he didn't. That's not the point.
I think he was coaching his team. Oh, you're talking about
then. As an instructor.
Yeah, then. I'm talking about Cam. Cam was coaching his team.
Yeah, Cam was coaching. I got you. But still, he's coaching a team. He could be sitting in his mansion counting his millions. I mean, after he's coaching a 7-on-7 team, that's the whole point.
Good point.
I mean, Cam could be playing golf wherever he wants. He could be – I don't know if he's married. If he's not, he could be on a trip with five women or five – whatever he wants. He could do anything that he wants. He does not have to be there with – 95%+ of the kids who won't even sniff the NFL no matter what they think. And I know a lot of those kids are good, but just do the math. You live that, you know I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how – well, I do. Let me take that back. I obviously do because we identified it immediately. When you have a license to say whatever you want in this world – without getting checked. And sometimes you get checked by getting popped in the face. Sometimes you get checked by your parent who might give you a backhand. Sometimes you get checked by losing your job. If you don't get checked at an early age, you will think you could say and do whatever you want. And you know what happens? Now you have this thing that we live in now called 2021, not pandemic stuff. I'm talking about the way we treat each other. Mm-hmm. That's what you have. The existence of people floating in the universe in a million different directions, not caring about people, not having empathy, not having respect. That's what it's about. And as long as we allow this to go on, if it was up to me, I would take social media and I would flush it in the ocean. The only element that I would keep open would be the charitable aspect. That is it. All this other junk, take it and get rid of it. It's garbage.
The problem is it's never going back that way. Ever.
Okay.
There's too much
then
money.
Then we're going to have a lot of incidents
like this. I agree.
Good.
Well, the only thing that's troubling to me
about it,
because I get it on social media. Like, you can say whatever you want. You hide behind the wall of anonymity of your laptop or cell phone.
No, but that's not true. But people say that and they're not hiding.
I know.
You're talking about the guy with the eggshell. I'm not talking about that guy.
I'm talking about the fact that it's now coming off of the social media platforms, that this happens in real life, right? It's almost like his was that, you know what it felt like when I was listening to that? I was like, those are the arguments that I remember getting in, you know, with fans at an away game. That's what it felt like, right? It was like someone's just talking trash to you and you scream back at them for a little while. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, who knows? But that's what it felt like. It's like this, I don't know, like I'm trying to throw you off your game. And it didn't make any sense to me because the context was wrong. Like, the environment was wrong for that to be happening.
There's no environment for that to happen.
Well, I mean,
from a 16-year-old kid for a pro player?
I mean,
who's coaching?
Think about the things.
You were free. You suck.
Think about the things that kids put on social media these days. Think about it. Right? Think about things that guys who are in the NFL now
who had
to go back and apologize for stuff that they said when they were in high school.
I hear you.
Right? So, I mean, this is just the world that these kids live in nowadays. I don't disagree because there isn't respect for the guys that came before you. And you know, I don't know how you ever expect to get there if you don't respect the process of the people that are there.
Well said.
That's what's troubling to me. And I think this may be an isolated – this is probably an isolated incident.
No, it's not. There's no way
In person.
I don't think
so. For someone
saying
this in person.
I
just haven't seen it very often.
No, it hasn't been captured.
But the point
is,
I see it all the time on social media. All the time on social media.
Well, but social media emboldens you to do that to somebody's face.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's just there are – there are supposed to be checkpoints in life.
Yeah.
And again, this is we haven't even said the young man's name, nor will we. Again, I'll give him credit; he was pretty witty with his comp. Like he was sharp. He had his game down. If that's the game you want to play, he was good at it. I completely object to it, but if that's what you want to do, at least have your things lined up. And he kept coming to Cam. I think that when you have to understand, and I don't mean you clearly, people have to understand that we can't, this is such a deeper issue than sports or Cam issue, or Cam, that we cannot tolerate this. It is eroding the whatever fabrics of respectability in our world remain. They are just being smashed to smithereens with sledgehammers. Pretty soon we're going to be left with rubble if we aren't already reduced to rubble in terms of interpersonal exchanges. Man, this ain't the way it's supposed to be.
It's hard to disagree with that.
Man. All right, this is bad. You know, maybe bad's the wrong word, but big picture, bad. Okay, coming up. By the way, if you guys want to chime in on that, all means, would love to get your thoughts. Whatever, you disagree, you agree, by all means, we'll read them, we'll hear them. On Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. This caught our attention over the weekend, and very rarely would we lead with something like this, but we thought it was lead-worthy. Hopefully you guys agree. Let's get to Cam, the football player, coming up next here. He's had some pretty interesting things to say. Interesting perspective. Pull back the curtain a bit. Are we buying it? Or is it just an athlete maybe trying to rationalize where he is at this stage of his career? That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hopefully everybody is in step here the new week. as we start to slowly, and hopefully it's not so slow anymore. I looked out the window today, saw more snow. You got to be kidding me with the snow.
It was short, though. I think it was short-lived.
It was, but it did offset a lot of the deletage, if you will, of snow that kind of melted yesterday. Right. We got it right back to where we were. But, hey, listen, bigger problems to handle than a little snow that eventually is going to melt for sure. Hopefully everybody's doing well. All right, we'll do a lot of NBA coming up next hour. You know, Teague's been all over. Teague has been a huge Harden guy, going back to his days when he was a huge Rockets guy.
I never officially became one, though, BT, because you asked for them to send me gear. Never happened.
That's true. I did.
Never happened. I might have fully went, but I didn't. I couldn't.
You know what? Good. They don't deserve your support there. They're going to front like that. We asked for free gear. Damn, but you better send us free gear.
Exactly. And if it's free, send us three.
Send us five.
Actually four, because it's four of us.
Exactly. Just send Sam through small and D-cell to medium. And said, T, what are you wearing these days?
I'm medium, bro. You still rocking all day. All day.
Understood. All right. We've got Avery Johnson coming up next hour, but specific to the hoops, just how serious should we take James Harden's NBA MVP candidacy? We'll get to that. A lot of issues to hit. Let's get to this now. Cam, the football player. Let's play. We all know what we saw this year.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a guy who was, you know, throwing ducks and overshooting and a lot of ground balls, a lot of short hops. Just physically looked shot. I mean, he literally looked done, as if he is finished with the NFL. The answer is probably somewhere in between, but he provided a little context over the weekend as to why he played so poorly. Here's Cam.
I was one of the first athletes, football players, to catch it. It just happened so fast, and when I came back, that's where the lack of offseason, that's the lack of having time, really being invested in the system, kind of showed itself. By the time I came back, I didn't feel comfortable physically, skillfully. And a lot of that discomfort came pre-snap. I've always valued my talents as something that's the improv. In this system, it dictates, you know, by certain things and working extra with, you know, Josh. And throughout those times, there was times where it's just like, hold on, am I supposed to set? Why they not? And I'm like lost of, I'm thinking too much. The offense kept going. I was stopped and stagnant for a week, 2 weeks. Then by the time I came back, it was new terminology and it was new. I was like, hold on. But go back to level one. I wasn't just trying to learn a system for what it was. I was learning a 20-year system in 2 months.
He basically wanted to keep fighting Don Flamingo from the early rounds of Mike Tyson punch out and try to avoid Mike. And
I gotta
some of the
tell
other
you, BT, that makes a lot of sense. It really does make a lot of sense, because what have we always heard about Josh McDaniel's system up there in New England? That it's complicated.
But right? I'm not saying you're wrong. But did we really hear Brady? I don't think I heard that much. Brady just knew it inherently. But
no, not from Brady, because Brady like mastered it. Actually,
that's about the other position players.
Yeah, exactly. That's like with
I got you.
Ocho Cinco, when he went up there. There was a couple others. They just never figured it out. It's mostly wide receivers. I mean, running back, they don't really need to, like, they can just step in and go that way. Don't let anybody hit you.
Yep.
Make sure you follow your blockers. But for wide receivers and tight ends and quarterbacks, it probably is a little bit complicated. And when you think about, you know, learning a new system in a couple of months and then not really having any time in the offseason because he signed so late, right, to get be in the playbook. And then training camp it was weird this year, right? Then they have like 2 weeks of just strength and conditioning before they actually ever get on the field. And then once you get on the field, there's really no contact because they don't want to get anybody hurt. And then they're also worried about, you know, passing the corona.
Was coming off surgeries.
Yeah, exactly. Oral. He hasn't thrown the football or at least been on a football-like environment, like where the real guys are coming at you in a year plus, right? So, I mean, it makes a ton of sense. And especially because I remember this from my days when I was playing BT, like you'd go in to training camp and you'd get a playbook, and let's say it's this thick. This is just in theory, because really the playbook is huge, but let's just say it's like this big, right? By the end of training camp, it's probably like this big, right? By week one, I mean, it's expanded. And then as the weeks go on, it just keeps getting thicker and thicker because you're putting in new concepts and you're game planning specifically for different teams and different defenses. And so if you start and you're in this process, and all of a sudden you're out of the facility, like basically zooming in just to pay attention for 2 weeks. That's, dude, that's hard. And you're the quarterback? I mean, forget it. There's no way you're keeping up with that. So his explanation makes a ton of sense. But, you know, the question is, could they have dumbed it down just to make him play better in real time? I don't know. It probably was against, you know, just the thinking of this team, because they've been doing it so long with Tom Brady a certain way.
Oh, and P.S., his weapons were substandard.
Very.
Okay.
Very.
You know, never in my wildest
or
imagination.
Injured, because Edelman's good, but he was hurt.
Edelman's solid, but, you know, we know the N'Keal Harry. Mm-hmm. Did you really draft the right guy?
Yeah.
You know, listen, nobody's going to beat you vertically, a bunch of retreads. It just, they didn't have any real, they just had a bunch of guys, put it that way. I didn't think that there would be anything that anybody would say that would, on some level, force me, maybe not to completely change my convictions on Cam, but to at least go back to the well and reconsider possibly changing my position on Cam. And you know what? His words have actually forced me to do that.
Yeah.
When I look at it from being in the moment and watching him play on Sundays and seeing the short hops and seeing the overthrows and seeing a guy who looks physically shot, as I said every week here on the show, and you pretty much said the same thing, he looked terrible.
He did.
It
was like he didn't know what he was doing. Physically, he didn't look like he knew what he was doing, and then mentally, he looked like he was lost. And he just explained why he was lost mentally.
Yes, but that is not something that I necessarily incorporated during the season.
Me either.
My point.
Because we just make the assumption as the starting, like, you won the starting quarterback job, dude. Like, you're better than the alternatives, which was Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham, right?
Yes.
So you're better than the alternatives. We're just going to assume, because you've been a vet and you're MVP, all these things that we said in the last segment.
You'll
figure it out, dude.
You'll figure it out.
But, you know, I mean, I know, like, there are some games early in my career where I remember, like, not knowing who the hell I was supposed to block.
Oh, that's got to be.
Right?
That's got to be the worst.
And
that's like not knowing when you go to break and you're on TV.
Dude.
And you're hosting.
You're right. We go to break. Somebody talk to me. Yeah. Right? And like, defenses are moving and guys are going around. I'm like, you're frozen. Like, you're just stuck. You're just standing there. Now you're the quarterback, and then you're calling out the, like, 354, 37.
and you're probably thinking, and you're like,
exactly.
32-16, where am I going? 35-6, red.
Exactly. And so when the ball snapped, you're like, wait, where am I supposed to go with this right now?
That's got to be the worst.
Oh, man.
That's got to be
And then think about the Jason Tatum thing, right?
Crippling.
Which we talked about with the Celtics, the basketball, in basketball, where he had COVID and – I mean, it's 2 months later now. He still says he feels like some of the after effects of this.
Yeah, he has said. He said that last
week. So you talk about the mental side, the conditioning side for Cam obviously had to be an issue as well. I mean,
listen, that's why. I could frame it one of two ways here. I can really kind of believe Cam, which I do. And now, if it was a transient guy who bounced around and had no resume, nothing that I could point to from a track record of success, even if he's an unconventional style, like in terms of efficiency, then I don't know if I can muster up any energy to say maybe he's on to something here, you know? And if the drop wasn't so precipitous as it was after COVID, he started pretty – remember, they almost won that game up in Seattle.
That's right.
They almost won that game.
That's right. It was a tight game.
And it was a one-possession game. He was inside the five. He was way tight red zone. He probably should have won the game. I think the Pats, they let Seattle off the hook that game is my point. And then he got COVID, came back, and he was a shell of what he was.
Well, hold on. If he doesn't get COVID, BT, do you think they make the postseason?
No, I don't think they were good enough to make the playoffs. And I said that before. That's why I thought they were 7-19. That's why I bet against them to win fewer than nine games. But I didn't like them going in. The division was getting better. All the reasons we talked about, they weren't good enough. But he would have acquitted himself much better. And I'll tell you this, while I would not, and we know the 17 or 18 teams looking to upgrade, the Bears, maybe the Jets, maybe the Dolphins, you know, we know the team, Washington. I wouldn't say that Cam would be good fits there, because I do believe there's palpable erosion.
Yeah.
But I will say that he's not, based on what he told us, and I believe him, it's not as helpless and hopeless as I thought after I saw him throw his last pass
this season. Right. I think you're right.
You know, I have to change a little bit how I view it, and I am.
Yeah, you have to, because it makes sense. What he said makes perfect sense. It doesn't sound like an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like, and he's basically saying, dude, I was struggling.
Yes.
And it's because I didn't have time to learn it. And when I went away because of COVID, they kept going forward. They didn't slow down for him. It's really hard. Really
that's
hard
the NFL.
When you're a quarterback. It's the NFL. They had to keep going forward.
Yeah, I got you. Especially given the unpredictable nature of COVID. It's not like he had an ankle sprain. You know he's coming back. If it's not a high ankle sprain, he's going to be back in 5 days. You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
Some people have it worse.
You're right. Till you
others.
Test negative.
Yep. That, but also how you feel.
Yeah.
Not just the negative test, but, how's it going to impact him in a month or in a week or in 3 weeks? You don't know. So they had to keep moving forward. Okay. All right, let's get to Axe Update. We'll hit that now. Rich Ackerman's going to give you all the news. We'll come back a little inbounds, out of bounds, start weaving some NBA stuff into the show. James Harden, maybe an MVP. The Nets continue to roll. They're 5-0 on that road trip. I don't know what the Clippers were doing with Paul George. That drove me nuts. We got a lot to hit. We'll get it after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney back. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a moment. A lot of NBA stuff next hour. Avery Johnson, the general, going to join us. First, though, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty simple. Drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag AskThePros. It's at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag AskThePros. Make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teek and I will take the best one. Could be about the Cam stuff. Could be about the NBA stuff we're about to get into. Just let it fly, and we'll answer it, and we'll give you some props on the air as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people are at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, Monday, out of the shoe with some fire, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Instagram, Tiki and Tierney. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Of course, radio.com, Apple, iTunes, podcast, many ways to get the show. Take a little in out, see what Santa cooked up. You ready to hit it?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, let's talk a little finance here. A little NFL money, as we discussed last week. The salary cap in the NFL is expected to be around 185, although most people don't think it will quite touch 185, probably a little lower than that, but in the neighborhood. But still, nearly $15 million less than it was a year ago. Now James Palmer, the NFL Network, told the DNVR's Three Ring Circus podcast that it could lead to NBA-style super teams.
There's people around the league that I talk to that think there's going to be some super teams attempted to be put together for 1 year. Because of this style of where the cap is, guys are going to take less money and go play with Tom Brady in Tampa for one season. And then we get back on track, and then they're going to ask for their regular money. Say, like, Vaughn gets released, and Vaughn goes, well, shoot, I'm going to go play with Tom Brady and everybody in Tampa for $5 million. And then I'm going to go back out on the market the next year.
I don't know if that's a good example, Von Miller, but that's not the example I would use, but his premise is an interesting one.
Yes, it is.
All right. In or out here, Teek, the NFL would be more interesting next season if there were, I don't know, two or three super teams vying for the Super Bowl. It's a good question.
It is. I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, only because of the larger picture. Like, we can look at this on a macro level and say, this is fantastic, right? You get these stars joining other stars on certain teams, and it creates a team that we all want to watch now for whatever reason. But I think it's ultimately, and I think the NFLPA will opine on this, it's very damaging to the growth of contracts around the NFL for players in general, right? It makes sense to chase a championship, but at the expense of growing the overall pool for your respective position, or especially for you individually.
Yep.
I think that's a negative, especially for guys that don't have guaranteed contracts. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
It's an outstanding point. There's a responsibility to push the earning power forward, and it's a responsibility that the NFL Players Association doesn't take lightly.
Yep.
Listen, we can talk about these super teams all we want, and obviously you've seen it in the NBA. Now, baseball's tried this on occasion. Rarely works in baseball, but it has worked in the NBA. But let's not mince the facts. Like, when Bosh, D-Wade, and LeBron joined up, I mean, you know, all right, Chris Bosh took a little shave. It's not like he took $9 million below the max. He took, like, less than $2 million below the max. Same with Dwayne Wade. So there were some slight, small concessions, but those are guaranteed deals. It's 4 years in length. That spot, it equates to, a ton of money. This is different, but I'm happy you brought up the financial side. My answer is still... My answer is actually different. I do think it would be interesting for 1 year because I think it would disprove the theory that if some people are beginning to fall in love with fantasy sports so much, it's not a sure thing in the NFL. One guy rips an ACL, one guy's Achilles, Achilles rolls up like a lampshade. One guy gets a concussion, he gets dented in the head, he's out for 2 months, God forbid. Like, this is not that you can't get hurt in the NBA, but it's a different balance of power.
Yeah.
The Niners did this with Dion 1 year. He won the championship there. But it's so few and far between. It would be interesting to talk about. That would be fun from our point of view. So I'll say inbounds for a year, but I think people would understand. It doesn't work in the NFL that much.
Are you in or are you out?
And there's a reason why it's not tried that often, because it doesn't work that much. Plus the finance that Tiki very astutely wove in there. All right, Tiki, let's get to this. The T-Wolf, hey, listen, when you lose to my Knicks, you're going to get fired. even though we're not nearly as bad as we are. Knicks are actually competitive. I'm watching them every night. But the T-Wolves lost last night to my Knicks. And as a result, they fell to 7-24, despite some decent hopes with a pretty good roster. Carl Anthony Towns, Russell's there, although he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Number one pick, Anthony Edwards, who had that sick dunk over the weekend. Did you see that? Oh, my God. From the baseline when he cocked it back and he yoked it.
That prompted a segment. I forgot which show it was I was watching. I don't know if it was Fox Sports or ESPN, but they were talking about the greatest dunks that you had ever seen.
I think I saw that. I think it's a 30 for 30 coming up or something.
Maybe. It was like Jay Williams. So it must have been
ESPN. Dominique Wilkins was on that, right? Is that the same one?
Yeah, Wilkins was on it, but they showed Vince Carter, because it's an in-game dunk where he's going down the baseline and he jumps and he has to double clutch and he dunked it like backwards, behind his head.
I thought you meant the one where jockstrap.
That was the Olympics, right?
That was the Olympics.
Yeah, that was the Olympics. This was in-game, reverse dunk. Not even looking at the basket. It was sick.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jordan had some sick ones, too, where he was so good at his hands. I mean, anybody could pretty much palm a ball, but he would give you such a believable fake, like a pass, and the defense would retreat, and then the paint would open, and he'd throw it down on bigs with regularity. But anyway, let's get back to what we're doing. Dunks are probably more fun than the T-Wolves at this point, but it is what it is.
Now, yeah, they definitely are.
They are. They fired Ryan Saunders, all right, and rather than go with an interim, which is generally what you do, they hired a full-time replacement. All right, okay. But he's from another team, from the Raptors. Chris Finch, the assistant, one of Toronto's assistants. So after their hiring, a couple of players weighed in. I know Blazers, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum were not happy about this, and they wondered why they didn't promote their assistant, David Vanderpool. So in or out, it does feel odd that Minnesota found a full-time replacement coach mid-season from another team.
I'm going to say out of bounds here, BT, only because Ryan Saunders has only been there for a year or two years plus, so just a little over 2 years, right?
That's a year more than some. Fizdale got 50 games.
That's right. But the reason that I think they knew who they wanted as a replacement is because their hiring process probably included their new head coach. They're now not interim, but they're now full-time head coach. And so they had it in the back of their minds, like, this, it's Saunders, or, I forget, who was the new interim?
Chris Finch.
Yeah, Chris Finch. It's Saunders or Finch. Oh, Saunders or Finch. Yeah, let's go with Saunders. And so when Saunders doesn't work out, it's right there. So it's easy recall because it wasn't that long ago. So I'm going to say out of bounds at this one.
That's a logical way to look at it. You do your intel on somebody. You accumulate all the info. You have a good feel for them. You go in a different direction. When that direction doesn't prove fruitful, it's easy to trace back and go with a guy that you already know. You've already vetted. That makes a lot of sense. My answer, though, is inbounds. It's very rare that this actually happens. Now, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. Maybe it proves to be a fruitful move. Again, they're 7-24. That team's perennially underachieving.
Yeah.
I mean, for 10, it seems like it's been 10 years almost.
Doesn't matter how. I mean, didn't they have back-to-back rookies of the year? Towns and Wiggins?
With Wiggins. They had Wiggins and Towns back to correct. And Edwards, well, no, it's going to be LaMelo Ball, but Edwards is starting to play pretty well. His PER, he's not very efficient, but he's making plays. Good to see Crowley. I watched the whole game last night. Towns was making some big plays late. And I just watched him. I just kept thinking about his family. I wouldn't even think about basketball. But when this happens, it usually is somebody who is on the sidelines, maybe somebody in the broadcast booth or a coach who's kind of, you know, on ice for a little bit. To go to another franchise is a little unconventional. So I'll say it feels odd. I won't say that it's wrong, because you hire whom you believe is going to be the best person for you. But, it, yeah, it does feel a little bit odd, a little unconventional. I would say inbounds to that.
Are you in or are you out?
Right, Seattle's got some issues. The Mariners in some hot water. Video of CEO Kevin Mather surfaced with him divulging some team secrets to club members. They were at the Bellevue Breakfast Rotary Club. In the video, he detailed plans for certain players like Kyle Seager.
Kyle Seager, this is probably his last season as a Mariner. He will be a Mariner Hall of Famer when he's done playing. Last year, he seemed to find the fountain of youth, had a fantastic year. We expect the same in 2021.
But we just don't plan on bringing him back after that, so that's probably news to Kyle Seager. That's not
playing
good
for your team.
Still on the team. The team's financial situation, he also talked about contract negotiation, and even admitted the team manipulates service time for players.
The risk was, if our major league team had had a COVID outbreak and we had to call people up from the taxi squad, we were a little short on players because there was no chance you were going to see these young players at T-Mobile Park. We weren't going to put them on the 40-man roster. We weren't going to start the service time clock. You might have seen my big tummy out there in left field. You would not have seen our young players, our prospects, playing at T-Mobile Park.
By the way, these are the kind of things, if you're going to say these, that you probably say these at a dinner after a cocktail hour, not at a breakfast. I mean, so he's not even drunk. You can't even say that he's drinking.
Yeah, you're right.
A little too loose there, buddy. In or out, the Mariners should be severely punished for the comments, including hefty fines and a loss of draft picks.
No, I'm going to say out of bounds. I mean, they're just doing themselves a disservice. It's not. I don't know how this negatively affects them in the baseball world. It obviously opens the door to the inner workings, but we all know that all these teams are manipulating service time, so he was just stating what we all know exists already. So I don't think that he should be fined, and especially not the Mariners should be in this case. Mather should probably be, I don't know, docked a whole month's paycheck by the Mariners themselves, but I say out of bounds of this.
I'm going to say out of bounds, too. By the way, this happened, I guess it was about 02. I was in Detroit. Dombrowski was the Tigers GM. There was some sort of function. Somebody had a camcorder. And it was about Bobby Higginson, who was an overpaid outfielder. He was getting like $9 million.
Camcorder.
Yeah, whatever it was. And he's like, you try to trade Bobby Higginson. Who wants him for $9 million? And, of course, it went out there and everybody heard, including Higginson. Bad look, but no, you do not take away draft picks. No, that's something he's going to have to deal with his bosses, whether or not they trust him anymore. Hour two coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.